Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for singing out this morning, church. Let's take the next couple of moments to share with you a portion of God's Word. We had a good Bible study hour. I thank those that came out and engaged in our study this morning. I'm going to continue as we now go into our worship, through our worship, to discuss what traditionally our American culture honors today. That's our fathers. Right? We celebrate the men who have played an integral role in our lives. And by celebrate, I bring to your attention, of course, that we know in the Bible, to honor means to esteem or value or show great respect. Or to honor someone is to value or place a high level of respect upon them. And we know that this is something we're actually commanded to do when it comes to our mother and father, right? Amen. We know that it's both in Exodus 20 and 12, Ephesians 6 and 2. Honor thy father and mother is what it says in Ephesians, which is the first commandment with promise. Right? And when we read about it in Scripture, I told you this last month, we were talking about the mothers. But nowhere in God's Word does it make mention of New Testament, Old Testament, King James, New International, New Living Translation. Nowhere does it make mention of the second Sunday in May or the third Sunday in June. Right, we're given the command to honor our mother and father. Right, once or twice a year. Right? But to honor our mother or father. So I'm not taking it away. If I hope last month some of the mothers got taken out to Olive Garden or Applebee's, or maybe you got a call that you hadn't gotten recently from one of your children. That's good, right? But in the church that I grew up in, the Church of Christ, we correct when the world tries to turn into an annual occasion, something that God's Word tells us to do regularly, consistently, and continuously. We don't solely preach about how God so loved the world, He sent forth His only begotten Son on December 25th. No matter when the world does it. We don't solely preach about how Jesus offered Himself a sacrifice for us and was crucified and resurrected on Easter, because that's when the world does it. We reflect and remember the sacrifice on the first day of the week as the Lord commanded His disciples, not as the tradition of men. So when the Bible commands us to honor our parents, don't backslide into an annual occasion. Don't be like the hypocrites, sitting one Sunday a year in the pew and then taking them out for Olive Garden. Today I want to reflect on another father. We talked about a pair in our Bible study. Today I want to reflect on the life of Caleb. So turn again in the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 13 and wait for me there. Is there anyone in need of a Bible this morning? We have one we can provide to you so that you can follow along and read anything I say in God's Word. I want to reflect on the life of Caleb, because I think it offers us several lessons about being a man of God. And really, that's what I want to talk about. In the context, of course, of Father's Day, but being a man of God. We see in Caleb that he's faithful, he's consistent, he's courageous, he's determined. All characteristics that a godly father aspires to be. God is calling men everywhere into being a similar example of faith through the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to look to encourage any men who are in our midst, or any men you may have influence over, to coming to the calling that God has given to men. As we recognize, being a man today isn't necessarily an easy task, but that's never been true in any age. It's more difficult even if you're hoping to be a man after God's heart, right, in a culture that is increasingly godless. But the reality is that many of us hope and dream, as men, of making a difference. Right? We dream about being the hero in our favorite movies. Or we dream of being successful at work. We dream of being used by God to make a lasting impact in our communities. Right? But being a man of God doesn't happen by accident. There has to be some intentionality to it. You have to understand it. So today, as we think about the men of God in our lives, we're going to look back in the book of Numbers to learn about some of the biblical qualities found in a man of God. So I'm first going to read from a familiar account, Numbers chapter 13. We know these verses fairly well, so I'm going to move through the chapter by reading verses 1 through 3. I'm going to move to verses 17 through 19, and then I'll read verses 26 through 33. So the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent from the wilderness of Paran, all those men were heads of the children of Israel. Can I get a listing? We don't need the listing. Picking back up in verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, "Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds." So our spies go out, and then they come back. And picking up in verse 26, we get the report of the spies, where it tells us they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the city, by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan." Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And when we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." You know this account. Joshua and Caleb are amongst the 12 spies. The 10 bring back an ill report. By this time in history of God's people, God had used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He had led them through the Red Sea and closed in and destroyed any that followed them. He led them to Mount Sinai, where God had given them 10 commandments. And now Moses had led them to the Jordan River. Right? On the other side of the river was their new home, the Promised Land. They had been dreaming about this moment, right, for centuries, as they worked as slaves in Egypt. But before God allowed them to enter in the land, verses 1 through 3, he told Moses to have 12 men, 12 leaders of the 12 tribe, go into the land as spies and to bring back a report. Right, and it tells us the spies checked out the land for 40 days. And when they came back, 10 of them said the land was filled with giants and reported that there was no way they'd be able to beat the people inside. But two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, shared a different story. They told the people to trust God and that God would be faithful to deliver them into the land they had been promised. They wanted the people to step out on faith. And now, at this moment in the story, the people of God have a choice to make. Caleb and Joshua had delivered an honest report with a faithful response to the potential dangers that were in the land. And they could have simply, when we think about it, they could have fallen in line with the rest of the spies. Right? Not disputing that the land was occupied, that the people were strong, right? And there were going to be obstacles, right? But instead, they chose to stand firm and to boldly proclaim what they already knew God's word had stated to them. What inspired these two men, Joshua and Caleb? What can we learn from them? Right. Caleb specifically, we get more context of in the next chapter. So now I want you to turn the page, if you would, to chapter 14 and read verse 24. We're talking about Caleb. The word says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Verse 24 says Caleb was different because he had a different spirit in him. So I want to ask you, have you ever noticed how some people that you interact with complain about every setback and difficulty that comes their way? Mm-hmm. While others seem to take it in stride and go on with life. Have you noticed how some people work and try to get ahead, while others are always looking for an easier or a shortcut to success? What makes the difference? Why, Doug? It's what's inside that makes the difference. Right? What was inside of Caleb? You know, for an analogy, I brought this morning a balloon. I don't know how to balloon. Right? Well, played with balloons probably as children. Right? We know this balloon can be the same balloon. If I fill it with water, right, it'll sink, whatever I put it on. Two, weighed down, it won't rise. What about if I fill it with helium? Right? It's going to rise straight up. Right? It's not about the balloon. It's about the content. What's inside the balloon? Right? That makes the difference. In order to be a man of God, you must have God's spirit within you. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus. Right? You must be born again. He's talking about what needs to be within him, right? Why Paul commands us to be filled with the Spirit, right? He's talking about what you're putting in your balloon, right? As long as you continue on trying to do your best without accepting Christ, you'll never be all you can be, right? You will never achieve what you were meant to achieve. You'll never stand in where you could have stood. Ask yourself today, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Right? What are you filling yourself up with? A man of God has divine resources in the Spirit. And a man of God acts differently than others. Right? Just like you, even if I filled the balloon, you'd have known without even seeing me fill it what was in it. Right? If it rose, you're like, well, that's either air or helium. if it fell and then probably popped and made a mess. That's why I didn't fill it. Anyway, you want to make a mess. But what's within you should then come out of you, right? If you read that verse again, that verse 24 there in Numbers 14, it says, "My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb followed the Lord completely. And in becoming a man of God, you must learn to follow the Lord completely. Amen. There was no hypocrisy in Caleb. He was not willing to follow the Lord only when things were safe. Right? He understood, like the rest of the 10 spies, that the land was occupied and their cities were walled and there were great giants. Right? He was just deciding that the Lord was with him, and it gave him the confidence. Right? He was willing to step out on faith. Right? He followed the Lord completely, even when it meant going against the testimony of his brothers. We need the Lord to send us more men willing to follow completely. Men who know what's right, who know what's wrong, and are willing to stand up and be counted. Like Joshua, when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what we were trying to study in this morning's study. Abraham, following completely. Right? Pharaoh, eventually kept trying to find different ways to follow, but not completely. Right? You know the difference when you see it. Right, of somebody who's willing to follow. We compared and contrasted those two men, the hard-hearted Pharaoh. Right? We know we got to that verse in chapter 8, verse 25, where Pharaoh knew who the Lord was, but he still wasn't ready to relent. Right? And told him, "You can sacrifice, but it needs to be in the land." When I say Caleb followed the Lord completely, I know that some of us try and pull a Pharaoh. Right? Some of us try and find that middle ground. Right? Moses, we read this morning, told him in that next verse when Pharaoh tried to give him the compromise. I think it was Sister Lily that read it, right? Or who was it that read the father? Oh, yes, it was Sister Judy. Moses tells him in the next verse, "That's not on me to do." Right? Pharaoh had given him a counter offer, and he went back and said, "That's not on me. I'm the deliverer of the message." Right? I'm not a mediator. I'm not a negotiator. Either you follow Pharaoh or you don't. But let us come back to Caleb. Did you notice that Caleb was willing to do whatever needed to be done? Whatever the Lord calls upon him to do. Right? When the spies were returning from Caleb, from Canaan's land, he was willing to stand up and be counted. Right? Caleb also followed the Lord cheerfully. Right? He didn't see it as a burden. He didn't see it as something that he was begrudgingly doing. Right? I bring that up because, maybe not here in Perump, of course, right? But it amazes me the number of people that'll step into a congregation and act like, or at least look like, get their faces in front of you, like they've lost their last friend, like they're not wanting to even be here in worship, right? They're here, but it's begrudgingly, not willingly. It's out of compulsion, right? And I'm not just talking about, you guys know I work with the youth a lot in our church. Not just the youth. The youth are going to be squeamish and looking for something, right? Talking about grown adults, right? It breaks my heart when I see people in the church who act like it's an obligation or a chore to be in worship with the Lord. Right? If you're just serving out of obligation, if that's the way you feel, don't do it. Right? God doesn't need slaves to serve his throne and his kingdom. Right? He's the Lord of the empire of love. Right? He wants men, women, and children who serve him cheerfully because they love him. God is love. And because they're grateful for all that he's done in their lives. Jesus said he would build his church. And he can do it. And he has done it. And he doesn't need the complainer's labor. And he doesn't need your money. Amen. So if you're not willing to give it. On the other hand, if you want to be a man of God, you must learn to serve cheerfully. Practice having a heart of gratitude and contentment for all that God has given you. Being a man of God means acting differently than others do. Joshua put it this way. Turn to Joshua chapter 14. Being a man of God means you follow the Lord completely. You follow the Lord cheerfully. And you follow the Lord constantly. The way Joshua put it, chapter 14, verse 10 and 11, it says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am this day 85 years old." And Caleb says, "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in." It's 45 years later, after he was sent as a spy to check out Canaan's land. An 85-year-old Caleb. Right? As I said, I don't know that I'll be as spry at 85, but he's something to aspire to, right? Because he says, "I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." And I doubt he's talking about physically, right? He's talking about the spirit that's in him and his willingness to follow and serve. Right? And I'm just putting it, he's 85 years old, 85, right? Caleb followed the Lord constantly, right? And if we're becoming a man of God, you have to learn to follow the Lord constantly. From the day Caleb first began following the Lord until his death, 45 years after he first goes out as a spy, Caleb is still following the Lord. In all those years, we don't have any incident recorded where he becomes one of the complainers. And he never quits asking what God wanted him to do. Amen. Right? At age 85, you don't find Caleb sitting in a rocking chair, watching the world go by, talking about what he did back in the good old days. He had some war stories. Right? But that's not who you find here. Right? You find him as willing to engage in the work as he had been as a younger man. And he's still working in God's kingdom, looking forward to the next challenge. Men of God act differently because they follow the Lord constantly. Right? Caleb followed the Lord faithfully. And in becoming a man of God, you have to learn to follow faithfully. Caleb and the other spies returned, gave the report. Some of the other men wanted to return to Egypt and the things they were missing out. But Caleb remembered that if God could pull us through all those difficulties and worked with us in the past, he's going to continue to do so. That was Caleb's faith. Do we have that faithfulness? If you want to be used by God, you're going to follow with faith. When your difficulties arise, when your finances are tight, in sickness and in health, right? When trouble comes, when opportunities arise, speak up as men. Remember how God has provided and protected you in the past, like Caleb did. And remind others that the God we serve is not unable to do. It's not a God we just give lip service to, but it's one we have to remain faithful to and continue to work through, even in difficulties. That's what makes Caleb different than other people. Right? But he also has tapped into, it's not Caleb, right? Caleb is a man who understands his resources. Right? That's back in, we went back to Numbers for a moment. I know I read already verse, chapter 14, verse 24. But it tells us farther on in that chapter, right, in verses 36 through 38, right, that and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. Right, the first reward that Caleb got for his faithfulness was his life. He got spared from the wrath that the other 10 spies, him and Joshua, right, were befell in that wilderness. Right? And the first reward you're going to enjoy after you give your life to God is that Christ has promised your life will be saved. Right? The verses we just read tells us that the 10 who rebelled against God died. But Joshua and Caleb lived. Right? When you give your life to Christ, you become a new creation. You are saved in the way Joshua and Caleb were saved. Right? We're reading it from the New Testament. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know the verse. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Those spies in the land are like Matthew chapter 6, if you know that sermon. Right? He talks about take no thought for what you're going to eat and take no thought for where your clothing's going to come from, because God provides for the fowl of the air. And those are the other 10 spies. Right? Like, they see the giants, they see the cities, they see the walls, they see all the things they're not confident in their ability to overcome. Right? Just like we see it sometimes. Right? But they... Christ tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things you're worried about, all those cares you have, will be taken care of. You will be honored. Not only will God save your life, but he'll bring you honor. Right? In the beginning of Caleb's journey, they wanted to stone him and Joshua. When he first came back with that report. That was their initial reaction. He was a man with no respect and no honor in front of the people. Right? But by the time the Israelites got back to the banks of the River Jordan, all the older men were dead, except Joshua and Caleb. Right? They were left out in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb were held in high honor amongst the tribes. I imagine even then they asked him again and again to tell them, because it was really just Joshua and Caleb at that point, about all the miracles God did in Egypt. Everybody else was gone that was there. Right? Here were these two men that by that time, 40 years later, were honored amongst men. Right? For they saw what was different and they were serving the Lord. In that same way, you can be remembered. Right? Caleb's life, he had, if you recall Caleb's life, even there in Numbers, right? After he talks about at age 85 being given a task, he gets given another task that no one else wanted. I don't know if you knew, There were three warriors at Mount Hebron, and no one wanted to try and kill them. And no one wanted to face them but Caleb. This isn't young Caleb. This is like 85-year-old Caleb, right? And he took on the giants. Caleb faced the giants and defeated them so that they could go in, right? We need to walk with God even when we're given difficult tasks, right? That's what Christ says in the Gospel of John. Turn to, in the Gospel now, to John 16 and 33, right? Saying, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Right, that's John 16, 33, where Jesus is warning us that in this life we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. So know the difficulties are coming if you're a young person. Right? If you've already been through the difficulties, then this is your testimony. Yep, they were coming. He said they were coming. They came. Right? You're going to have tribulation. Right? But know the difficulties are coming, and as you walk through a life of faith, trust in God, and God will remember you. You'll leave an inheritance for your children. Right? What did Caleb leave for his children as a father? He left them the blessing of a nation who knew the Lord. Right? He left them the example of a godly father and grandfather. That was their inheritance. Great silver and gold and palaces and land. Not from Caleb, right? But Caleb was faithful. He was bold. He was courageous. He was determined. He was the example that the next generation, him and Joshua, they were the examples the next generation needed, right? Caleb was a man of God worth imitating and modeling lives after. Just as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Right? Many of us can give that testimony that helped us come to Christ. Amen. Of seeing another man or woman walking that path. And yes, we eventually learned the gospel, right? But we first saw Christ in someone else. In the way they behaved, in the way they acted, in the way they carried themselves, in the way they responded to things differently than other people, right? That's what people saw in Caleb. And men, the Lord has issued the call for godly men. He's looking for men to take up the cross and follow him. He's looking for men like Caleb who will walk with him constantly, who will take a stand for what's right, who will invest their time, their lives, for a blessing that can last for generations. He's looking for godly leaders that are willing to lead others. Leaders who are willing to become godly men. So ask yourself, are you that kind of man? Man. Is there something about Father's Day stirring in you that you haven't thought about in a while? Terms of your responsibilities. Is today the day you decide to answer the call? Right? It's not too late. If anything I've said today has resonated with you, take some time to think about it, pray about it. Take some time this week to consider the life you've been living and ask yourself, as I will, is this the life God has called me to? Is this the legacy I want to leave behind for the next generation? And if you're struggling, let your brothers and sisters know. You don't have to struggle by yourself. You're not going through it by yourself. Ask for help, for prayer, for fellowship. Moses didn't send the spies into the promised land alone. He sent the 12 of them together. Right? Jesus didn't send out his disciples alone. He sent the 12 of them together. Right? You're not alone. Right? We're a spiritual house, a spiritual kingdom. Let us lean on one another. And if you're not a Christian, right? If you haven't been baptized, right? As the Bible teaches in Mark 16 and 16, then you can make that decision, that choice, that election today to come into God's family. You've heard the word this morning. If you believe the word, right? If anything has struck you in your heart, made you think, oh, I haven't been following in the way that I need to. Repent. That's all Christ commands you to do. Repent. Turn away from it. Change. Right? Come back to doing the will of the Father. Right? And if you'll stand before men and confess your faith in Christ, we can baptize you into the body of Christ today. Welcome you into God's family today. If you're not a member of the church, it starts by spending quality time with God. Right? Spending time in the Word, spending the time with God's family, your brothers and sisters. You're lost, and we're willing to help you in that journey to find your role as a servant in God's kingdom. If you're in the body of Christ but recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, the gospel is the good news. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His forgiveness. Right? Start over again today. Right? Start over this morning. Right? Follow the Lord. Right? Repent and come back to doing the will of the Father before it's too late, while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.